I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We're trying to get a feel for how people spend their day at work. So if you would you walk us through a typical day for you?
It's Mike Shope.
Well, I generally come in at least 15 minutes late. And after that, I just sort of space out for about an hour.
Space out?
Yeah, I just stare at my desk, but it looks like I'm working. I'd say in a given week, I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
And the Bulldog.
It's not that I'm lazy. It's that I just don't care.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
All right. Hi, everyone. Hope you had a good weekend. There is a ton of news. Joe just ran through a lot of it. The lottery tonight. Do you care who wins the lottery? Yeah. How much do you care who wins the lottery?
I have some opinions. there are some scenarios that I think are much worse than others. There's some, to me, basically harmless winners.
Let's go through it.
Minnesota, Nashville.
So harmless is good? That's what we're here for?
I think so, unless you want to subscribe to, well, if it makes me mad, at least they're getting a reaction and give them credit for that. But, you know, I'm not totally dismissing that. I think it's cool to have, you know, a strong reaction to, say, Pittsburgh or Toronto getting the first overall pick, but it's not something I want to see happen. It's bad enough that they're eligible. To have them win it would just be too much.
Yeah, that's really, like, the best argument to objecting to this, right? That they were good teams.
Yes.
And that they lost, this qualifying round really doesn't change that. They had good seasons. They were the fifth and sixth place teams in the East, right, respectively, Pittsburgh and Toronto. It's not that they both won lotteries and gotten great players. It's not that we are rivals, right? It's that they really don't deserve it.
It's all of those three things to me. They've had their lottery wins. So have we, but they're rivals, and I don't want them getting, you know, I don't want them getting a $900,000 a year 40 goal score to plop down on Sidney Crosby's wing, or Malkin's wing, or, you know, Austin Matthews or John Tavares' wing. I'm having enough trouble getting out of the mud, and, you know, that's not their fault, of course, but just no, no thanks. You don't get to have this guy.
But somebody does. So Toronto.
Somebody does.
Toronto, Pittsburgh, the Rangers, and who else in the East?
Florida.
Imagine forgetting about Florida. Yeah. Toronto, Pittsburgh, Rangers, Florida, Edmonton, Minnesota, Winnipeg,
Nashville.
All right. So give me like 1 to 8. Worst case, like, or best case to worst case, or worst case to best case, whichever.
Worst case to best case.
Yeah, that's actually better. That's the better way to do it. Because then, it's easy to think of who you don't want to have win, but tougher to think of who you would like to have win, if you can put it like that.
Uh-huh.
Somebody will win.
I would, I believe the couple of the teams I've already mentioned here are the worst case scenario. Toronto, Pittsburgh. I'm inclined to think about the East differently than I am the West. And even though the Rangers aren't exactly in my hair, I mean, they're going to be battling for a wild card spot. I don't need them getting this guy. Same with Florida. I mean, Florida, you say, oh, who cares, Florida? They're insignificant. Well, they were better than you this year. They made it into this thing, and they're in my division. So, like, no. They outrank even Edmonton to me. Edmonton is more hilarious to me than it is a problem because they're not going to keep me from doing anything except winning the cup when they meet in the finals someday. So, I put all four East teams as the in that order: Toronto, Pittsburgh, Rangers, Florida.
I think I want the Rangers to win the least. I think they're my number one.
Okay, why is that?
I mean, how do I want to say it? Or I have to think of what it is before deciding how I want to say it. I have to come up with a reason. Then I can figure out how to explain it. I don't know. Don't you just dislike them?
Well,
And Toronto, at least you have the guy to talk about, and there is something satisfying about being mad or playing with the Leafs, you know. My Twitter was pretty fired up when they made that comeback and won, and then when they lost. Like,
yeah.
That was living. Right? Like, that was living, having the Leafs have that weekend. And, you know, we're close to Toronto, and that's part of the reason, or a lot of the reason. But, it's not just, like, friends who are tweeting about the Leafs. It's, you know, a lot of the media. They're a great story. The Leafs are a great story. The fact that they have gone so long without winning a round, and this is now a few years, what is it, 4 years with Matthews. He's the year after Eichel, right? They still have not been able to, even win this qualifying round, which was not even technically the playoffs.
Yep.
So,
go ahead. I'll let you finish.
They are a story, and the Penguins are too. The Penguins are a story. The Penguins from Mario Lemieux on. I would have felt maybe the way I feel about the Rangers, about the Penguins when they got Mario Lemieux, which was not a lottery. That was just they finished last, which was, why do you deserve this? What makes you so great that you get this? Like, look, good for you. And Crosby is also that. But before that, they were this embarrassment of a franchise, and then they got Mario, who then ended up buying the team, and then it was Crosby, and then it's four cups, right? So that now it's sort of like that's normal life, Pittsburgh. And I don't know, how much better do they get? They can get somebody like this guy in at the trade deadline every year. Don't they usually do stuff like that anyway? Like, Marian Hossa goes to play for the Penguins now. Like, good players just get added to the Penguins because of Crosby and maybe because of Mario. Like, they've built something. The Rangers
deal number one picks just to keep the stream fresh. You know, they've always got a new guy, it seems like.
Yeah.
At least for a stretch run and a playoff drive.
The Rangers don't deserve any credit. They don't, what do they have that's so impressive? Yeah, they've had a couple of good seasons. They've had a very good goalie. They've got a goalie who's had a great career. It's about over. But they've made dumb moves. Like, I don't know. That would be gross to me. New York City.
Yeah. Yeah. No. I have no love for the Rangers. But the point you're making about Toronto, and I guess to a certain extent Pittsburgh, but Toronto is more the point to me. Like you're saying, it's proximity, it's rival, and it's interesting. They're all of those things if they get Lafreniere or not. Like next year, it's the same. There's a lot of hype. They've got all these this high end talent, highly paid high end talent up front, and they still can't figure out a way. You know, if it goes like it's been going, not to say that they won't someday, like, you know, I don't know, not hit a post on a wide open net, and have a very different outcome in one of these deciding games. I don't know, but whether they get Lafreniere or not, they're going to be what they are. Like, they're a media interest juggernaut that is very close to us. It touches us, you know? So I don't need them to get another guy to be more interesting. They're going to be interesting just by pure mass. You know, there's just so many people and so many eyeballs and so many Twitter accounts that are going to be talking about them. So, and I think, you know, Lafreniere, the point about him being cheap and productive is, you know, that should really help if he lands on a team that's already good. That could be a real problem for at least a few years. I mean, they'll have to eventually figure out what to do with all the money stuff, and maybe that's even more complicated sooner because of the pandemic. But I don't need them or Pittsburgh. So to me, the Rangers and Florida are pretty much equal to me as far as, like, competitively, even though Florida's in Buffalo's division. But that's how I would the least desirable outcome is Pittsburgh or Toronto. I just don't think they outrank New York to me on an aggravation meter of, oh, good, they won the lottery. How nice.
Everybody else is tied for equally irrelevant. Edmonton's funny because Edmonton has McDavid, but Edmonton is a team that traded Taylor Hall for a number five defenseman. Florida is a team that thought Marchessault was basically replacement level. Like, these teams are so dumb. I mean, I'll be mad if anybody wins. Like, I don't want anybody to win, but somebody will, and I don't want to be mad tonight. So just like, whatever. This guy will go to one of those teams, and I'll almost never see him, and I'll forget in 2 years who he is. Maybe.
Yeah, I don't think Minnesota would not make me mad. Like, I think Minnesota is it's a great hockey state. You know, amateur hockey, college. It's a big time hockey state, and they've never had a guy like this. You know, they've gone out and signed guys, but they didn't even get the first overall pick in the year they came into the league. I think I think Marian Gabrick, I heard Andrew Peters talking about this earlier today, was their first ever draft pick, third overall in 2000, I think, is the year they came in. That was their first draft. So go ahead, get one of those guys, and you're not gonna be a bother to me. But I think that's a market that I can get with, deserving to have something like that happen to them. It's a little more than irrelevant to me that I would feel good about that. And I guess I could say the same about Nashville. Although, you know, they've been a stronger team mostly than Minnesota, I think, over the last few years. But they're, to me, not a team that's all set or anything. So, the West is way preferable to me. Even Edmonton, like you said, to me, there's not like, oh, my God, are you kidding? They got another first overall pick. Fine. You're not going to be a problem to me. So it's really the teams in the East that would be tough. And, you know, the league, you couldn't even watch. I watched every minute, I think, of that Columbus-Toronto series.
Wow.
And I could not get to a comfortable place with what to be rooting for. I mean, there's the interest that is Toronto, like we've already stated a couple different ways. And that being good for hockey and interesting and the star power of the team. But I want, you know, I don't want them to have success, but I also don't want them to have a 12.5% chance at this guy. So, like, I'm watching, I don't know what the hell to root for. I want the upset. I'd prefer that, but it comes with, you know, it comes with stuff attached to it. And that I don't know, that was aggravating.
I guess, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I guess I would have to say I'd feel the same way about the Sabres if they were on this list and I lived in Minnesota or Winnipeg.
Yeah, sure.
You know, like, what? Why do you deserve it? You're inept. Like, why do you deserve the number one guy? What should, really, I guess I'll just peel it back to the point where I can sort of say something, and that's obviously, it really doesn't work. The system doesn't work the way it should. And this year, I guess I'm not going to be as bothered by the format this year, or the way that this has played out, where good, so-called good teams have a chance at this player. Because really, the lottery in the first place is your problem. I mean, if a team, how bad have been some of these teams that have won the lottery or moved way up anyway? It was New Jersey last year. Like, I don't know, but not all, sometimes you get teams that are like, maybe not, they were not playoff teams, you know, this year is weird, mm-hmm. but they weren't always terrible. And the system has been changed a bunch of times as the league tries to figure out what's the fairest way. But all of these systems, stopping at what we just had here in the last week or so, reward losing. And as long as you're doing that, I don't know how you get a good outcome. As long as you reward teams who lose games, then you're going to end up screwed up. So this system should have been changed a long time ago. What you would have now would depend on what they would go with, like that gold system or different ways of determining the top pick. There probably shouldn't even be a draft. There probably should just be teams can go and sign guys, and they wouldn't all go play for Pittsburgh or Toronto. They would spread out because opportunity means a lot when you're in the job market, you know, and so does money. And you know, it should probably be like that. The draft is fun, though, and I'm not proud of anything I'm saying here about, like, my attitude about this. My attitude about this sucks. My attitude is I don't care if he plays for Minnesota or Winnipeg or Florida are all the same to me because they're all teams I don't care about. They're all teams that mean nothing to me. And so what's the difference? And you want to talk about the fan base in Minnesota? Great. That's fine. But I am not at a point with the Sabres where like I'm sort of plugged in on those other teams. My interest in the NHL exists because of the Sabres. And if they're at the bottom, then what am I doing? I'm watching other sports. So I'd like to have them get good enough where I do care about what team Lafreniere plays for. And if he plays for the Leafs or the Penguins, at least I'm alive. At least it's funny. And people will talk about that, and that's a win for me. The Rangers, not to just be redundant, but the Rangers to me are like, what? Why do you deserve it? I don't know. That the same point can be made about those other teams, though. So that's at 6, by the way, the lottery coming up. Yeah. We've got there's a ton all over the place. The college football news is massive, and we will see if they can get anything done. I'm a NFL fan, and while UB is, that's a tough one for them and for us, but I'm interested in the NFL on Saturdays if there aren't going to be college games there. The NFL, I mean, I still think the NFL will get through this year. Does the college story change your mind about that?
Not significantly. I mean, it is, you know, it's daunting, threatening, maybe, but it's also, you're talking about many more teams, larger environments, like college campuses. It's just, to me, it was always going to be harder to, you know, every week it seems like I'm reading more and more details about what an NFL team's day is like. It's Peter King, largely. He did this a few weeks ago with Minnesota, and now again this morning, his big piece is about the Houston Texans. And like, just, you know, what they're doing to try to keep things on track. And I just think it would be really hard to do that at however many Division I college football universities there are. I just think it's a lot harder to control the environment of a college-aged athlete than it is an NFL player. I mean, it still is challenging to, you know, to control the environment of a 25-year-old NFL player, but I just think you're asking a lot when you're talking about 19 and 20-year-olds in college. And even to have the resources. I mean, I know that college football is a money-making, you know, monster, but I just think it's a lot to provide those kinds of resources for that amount of athletes. I just think it was always going to be a tougher lift. So I think the NFL is still, you know, much like when we talked about baseball and the outbreaks there, and within the first couple hours of our show that one day, the point was made by two different guests, Sal and someone else. Like, the travel is different in football. It's, you know, it's you're you're going in and you're going out, and there's not a lot of, hey, let's go hit the cool steakhouse or anything when you're on those trips, whereas baseball was a little more liberal about people moving around, and maybe that's what caused the problem. So I think the NFL still has those sorts of things going for it, and mostly it's resources, and I'm just not sure college could keep up in that department.
Well, in the NFL, there's a lot of money to lose, and I think they do play. It's, you know, you mentioned baseball, and when the baseball season started, players were free to, quote, police themselves, right? To go out and not, by baseball, be restricted as far as that goes. That has changed. And we've seen that here. If you've been listening to our show all the time, like you saw that or heard that play out live right here when we had county executive Poloncarz one day say, well, if this is going to happen, I mean, they have to stay quarantined. Like, Erie County is doing well. So we can't have baseball teams coming in and out and then going out all the time. We can't have that. And then Ben Wagner, their broadcaster, came on when it was made official, I think. That might have been the day. Yep. But either way, he came on, and I put that question to him about Mark Poloncarz's comments. He's like, well, my understanding is we are not restricted at all like that. Like, the players, I don't think so. And then we've had developments in baseball lead to that now, yes, you have to stay in. And baseball has people watching to make sure you stay in. They're still not through. I mean, the Cardinals, Bulldog, the Pirates are 3-13. The Cardinals are 2-3.
I know. I looked at the standings the other day to see how many games they'd played. I mean, it's incredible.
And their series with the Pirates is postponed already to start this week. That's tonight, tomorrow, maybe more. So teams are going to get to, like, maybe 20 games, and the Cardinals will be at 5.
Yeah.
And I don't know how they reconcile that, but tomorrow at Salem Field, the future former home of the Toronto Blue Jays, it's the Blue Jays and the Marlins. Blue Jays will be in light blue jerseys. And one thing maybe we could talk about later, and I think probably people listening have heard different rumors about this, and some are probably right, that they are taking they're taking strides or making an effort to restrict your opportunities of looking into the ballpark. Like that parking garage, for one, and I don't know what else, but I've heard a lot about that in the last few days, that, you know, if you're high enough up in the tower, you'll be able to see in, I guess. But in a lot of places where you might think of to look into the ballpark, you might not be able to do that. They don't want people congregating, you know, anywhere.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that parking ramp doesn't want you coming in and paying $5 or $10 or whatever, you know, a few hours or an all day rate is, and like backing your pickup truck up to the window or to the edge of the thing and opening the gate and then sitting there with four friends and drinking some beers and watching the ball game. I think they're trying to avoid that.
Yeah. So tomorrow's the night, and Brian Koziol is going to be covering with Pat Malacaro, be covering the Blue Jays for us this summer here on WGR. Brian will join us in a few minutes. We'll talk about that. What he knows about the ballpark and more. And also the golf tournament yesterday. Yep. Morikawa, which is bad for you and me. Because that's the guy who I expected to be able to pick in Sneaky Joe's league, and the guy in front of me did it. And now I root for him. I root harder against that guy because of that than anybody. Because I just like, how? I mean, I don't have a good team, but that's the guy I assumed I was going to get. And I was wrong, so I got stung. You got stung, Bert.
Yeah. Well, me too. I mean, I never felt like all set or anything, but, you know, for a while, because there was just so much traffic up at the top, you know, within a shot or so of the lead. And at one point, I think there were four players tied at 10 under. Two of them were guys that I had, but, you know, the other two weren't. And eventually, those two guys, DeChambeau and Johnson, sort of went away and, you know, there I was. So I don't know. I never felt like, oh, I've got this. You know, it was early enough in the day when Dustin Johnson was still in the lead that I thought, you know, anything could really happen, and it did. So
Morikawa, who has already won this year, like, that was a great job, of course. But you know, if you're betting on it like we are, you just basically only want your guys. Everybody else you hate.
Right. Yeah, right.
So
yeah.
That's betting on golf is very negative, or it can be. Or it can be amazing, I guess, if you're right. So Brian coming up on the Blue Jays, on the golf tournament, the PGA. Matt Waldman today, rookie scouting portfolio. We'll talk some NFL with Matt and keep looking to see what breaking news there is, college football, baseball, and more here. That's how it's been lately. There's a lot of developments all the time. So, and the lottery tonight. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog. We are at 803-0550. Brian Koziol next. This is WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
No, it's fun to see you. I saw you out there on 9, and my caddy's a huge Warriors fan. I think you heard him. I'm not. LA boy at heart. I do look at leaderboards. You know, I want to know where I'm at. Why not? I don't think it affects me. I think it's good to know where you're at. I don't want to be coming down 18 knowing I need to make par and trying to force a birdie or doing something stupid. When I looked on 12, and, you know, there was a party of us at 10 under, and someone was going to separate themselves.
I like it. Colin Morikawa, the PGA champion, first major of the year. He's 23. And he said, yeah, I looked at the leaderboard. I do that. Good for him. It's hard enough. I mean, I don't know. People talk about, and with good reason, I suppose, like the pressure and how you could get distracted. And, like, you know, some guys don't look at the leaderboard. They just don't want to know, I guess. But I feel like the pressure would already be pressure enough. Give it to me. Give me the scores.
I would think not knowing where you stand would create a different kind of pressure, right? Like, I would be distracted. Like, am I ahead? Am I one behind? Am I three behind? Like, what's going on? I would think you'd want to know.
It would change your, you know, as he said, it would change or could change your strategy. All right. Brian Koziol with us, Tee to Green host. Also, Brian, who, of course, also hosts Sabres coverage on WGR, will be now covering the Blue Jays for us. And that's super cool, Brian. Like, friends have asked me, are you going to get to go? Like, friends from around the country, are you going to get to go? And when they ask that, and I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. I guess I may be able to go if I wanted to and I could see, but there's no way they would need me there. You know, so I haven't made any strides toward that. But you getting to do it, you know, it's historic. Tomorrow's the first major league game in Buffalo in more than a century, and you'll be there. That's pretty great.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I know when Alan, our boss, kind of approached Pat and I about saying that, hey, we obviously want to cover it because it is a historical thing happening in Buffalo sports. I was excited to know. I had originally even thought, like, is how much media are they even going to let in? If any, who knows? I mean, I would assume there's maybe some core beat reporters that maybe could be allowed access, but I didn't know what it was going to entail. I think tomorrow is going to be something that I'm really looking forward to seeing, the setup, the protocols, all that sort of stuff. And then obviously at some point, once the situation about getting in the stadium and the COVID checks and all that going through that we have to, realizing that this is actually a real Major League Baseball game, not an exhibition, being played in downtown Buffalo, I think that'll be pretty exciting.
Right. So at this point, you just referred to it. You don't you don't know what to expect from a media standpoint, right?
Well, so I've been given kind of a list of protocols and I guess some things that you would expect. Like, I've got to fill out a form before mm-hmm. I go to the ballpark to say that I haven't had any symptoms of COVID over the last, however many days. I will have my temperature taken when I go in. They are, what I was at least told in terms of this document that I was sent to me, is that they are limiting media to 25 seats overall. Okay. And I know that they said it may fluctuate depending upon the games and just how things are going in terms of, how the procedures are being deemed to be successful, I guess I would assume. And the press box itself is, I didn't know, is it going to be inside or outside? The Bison's press box, the normal one, is a closed, is a closed window venue. There may be people I know working up there that have to handle the ballpark logistics, but the media themselves, we are going to be sat just under section 100. For those that know the ballpark well, that's right behind home plate, mm-hmm. but all the way underneath where the overhang is. And I think there's that, I don't know if it's got an official name, but kind of like that, there's that congregation, like if you sign out like a private party area, there's like an area underneath that one at the top of section 100
mm-hmm. yep.
where they've got kind of like bar stool seating. And I believe they're going to have the media set up there and then some other temporary tables kind of scattered in that area where they're going to have us set up.
That's great. I love that seat too. I mean, especially if it might rain underneath. So cool. Well, I mean, the historic nature of this opportunity for Buffalo, this event, is really cool to me. It's one of the best things about baseball is that you can look up stats from like the 1870s, and Buffalo has a major league history. It's just before any of us was alive. It's more than 100 years ago. So you seem like so inclined. I mean, I would think that you might be looking up a little bit about the history of it. There are some good websites for it. Herd Chronicles, like you can tap into that here as we approach this game tomorrow. Again, the first game in Buffalo in more than a century.
Yeah, I've been, the Herd Chronicles, I believe, is their own Twitter handle too that I've been following, and I get kind of like that daily update from them, and it's been a lot about it. And I saw that the Buffalo Blues was what they actually were called at 1915 or whatever.
Yep,
and
yep.
There, and then of course with the Blue Jays wearing the blue alternate jerseys tomorrow, the powder blues, I think.
Yep.
That's a pretty cool scene. Yeah, I mean, I was just old enough. I was a young teenager, but I was at that sports obsessed age in that early 90s spot when they gave away these those expansion franchises. And being at that age, a young teenager, not understanding the economics behind the decision, like I remember being just crushed as a kid when they just passed over Buffalo, because I remember Major League, had all these check marks of, we want a baseball-only stadium, we want to have a grass field, we want to have all this. And it was like, wow, Buffalo has all the checks. How are they not going to get this? And I, of course, at age 11 or 12, whatever that was in the early 90s, like I didn't understand TV market size and how that works, So it just, of all the determining factors, and I still think every time I'm at a Bison's game in the summer on like a Friday night or a Saturday night when it's jammed, I always think I'm like, man, I wish this would have been, I wish this could be Major League. And then inevitably the conversation always comes back if I'm having it with somebody of like, well, they never would have been able to support it. And I guess I would have just loved to see how it could have played out. And maybe it wouldn't have worked. I don't know. Maybe it would have failed and the team would have moved already by this point in 2020. But I would have loved to have seen possibly if it could have worked at some point. I wasn't ever old enough in my lifetime to know what it was like to have the Braves here, mm-hmm. and then they left. So I didn't know how that ever played out, but I would have loved to have seen if maybe Major League Baseball could have gotten a shot here, and maybe it wouldn't have supported it with all the things that go into it now. But the nostalgic part of me, the old school sports fan, just there's nothing like being at a baseball game in the summer on a nice night.
Yeah, that I agree. I want to be in a crowd, though. Like, this is going to Bills games is work for me. Going to Sabres games is not always work. That's sometimes or often a night out, but it's indoors, and I'm not there yet. We'll see what they can come up with for hockey. I mean, the open air is a big variable. Baseball, though, like, there's where I go and want to drink a beer. I think I just drafted it in the first round on Friday. That's where I want to go and sit and drink a beer in the sun and really get into being a sports fan, really feel that. And if nobody else is there, it's just, I mean, you're going as media.
Yeah.
So it's not really on point, but it's just not as appealing.
You're totally right, because part of it is the mood. I mean, when you're there at a Bison game some night and it's less attended, it's not as fun, let's face it, when it's packed and it's buzzing and it's a great night. So I agree with you with that. I was trying to think, I'm like, how could this scenario have ever played out where we would be celebrating this in full capacity and maybe it would be jammed every game? And the only thing I could think of is, you know, maybe Rogers Center had to, some like unplanned renovations and they just needed a ballpark for half a season or something. I don't know. I was like trying to play this out of my head. I'm like, how could this have happened where maybe it just came here and everyone could go, and maybe just for some reason they couldn't use Rogers Center. You know, I don't know. I mean, that's far-fetched, obviously, that maybe they wouldn't have had plans already if that happened. But it is unfortunate. And especially with the AL East teams and even the NL East teams that are so popular in this area, and everybody's got a favorite in one of those divisions, to have the Yankees and the Red Sox and the Mets and the Braves coming through, and ironically enough, the Marlins, one of the team that got chosen over Buffalo, one of those franchises, coming in here to start things off. Like, it's just, I would have loved to have seen a packed house, even if we only were going to get it for about 25 to 30 games here. It would have been great.
Yeah. All right, so are you finding yourself getting on top of the Blue Jays, like knowing this was coming, like trying to follow their games, whether or not you're watching them or just, boning up on the roster and the batting order and the rotation and all that? Like, it's kind of a cool assignment, right?
Yeah, I have been. I mean, now last year when Pat Mellicaro was on TV with Duke, I was one of the fill-in announcers on radio. So
right.
Amazingly, like, it worked out that it you look at like 2/3 of the Blue Jays normal roster at some point all played in Buffalo last year. It's a very young Blue Jay team. And of course the big three that everybody talks about with Biggio and Bichette and Guerrero Jr., like those three are obviously the headliners, but there's some others that have played here very recently. So, I mean, even if you're somewhat of a fringe Bisons follower, if you watch these Blue Jays games, you're going to recognize a lot of these names. And with Pearson, a great pitching prospect, that we'll get to see. I believe he's scheduled to pitch on Wednesday against the Marlins. I think that'll be good because, opening night tomorrow, obviously exciting for opening night, and then the pitching ace prospect coming in the second night. It'll add to the excitement there for night two.
Yeah, it's funny that it's the Marlins. It's not even because of the COVID outbreak, but it's just like the schedule is primo teams. If you're a baseball fan, mostly go to Toronto. You want to see the Yankees or the Red Sox or the Mets when Interleague started, and like that's the schedule. It's a lot of their schedule, but it's the Marlins and then the Rays this weekend. The Yankees at 10-6 are the only team above 500 in the American League East this year. I mean, I don't mean to put on a serious voice for that because the season is so screwy. 7-inning doubleheader games and the Cardinals playing 5 games when other teams have played 16. Just like how it'll seem in the next couple of days, having this baseball team play in Buffalo, although we can't get near it, except for Brian, I don't know how that's going to feel. Like, I don't know if it'll feel like it's close or not. It is, but it isn't in the same way or in a different way. So here's to it, though. Like, I love the pictures of how the ballpark looks.
Yeah.
You know? Like,
I drove. Yeah. Sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you there. Driving past there a couple times over the weekend, like, I noticed the cutouts behind home plate, and like, I always kind of look and peek in the ballpark just to see what you can see when I drive to get on the 190 there. But it was even more curiosity with everything that you knew was going on. So I still find it, like you're saying, Brian and Pat are going, but like the general population can't really touch it or feel it. But it still is, I think, pretty cool that it's there. Like, I'm looking forward to turning a game on at some point and seeing the ballpark. And I know it's right up the street.
Yeah, and I'm hoping that Toronto will play well enough that the following the Blue Jays remains interesting. And we know with the expanded playoffs that they have right now, it's not going to take a whole lot. I mean, basically just hang around 500 and we should have interesting baseball, I think, you know, through the time that they're here. It's so short that it's not like you can get eliminated already. So as long as they just don't go in the tank with how many teams are going to make the playoffs, I'm hoping that we'll at least get interesting games here almost to the end of the time that they're playing here in Buffalo. And if they somehow got a playoff game, that would be tremendous. And I know it probably looks like there won't ever be an opportunity maybe for fans to attend, but who knows, maybe 2 months from now we'll have a whole different discussion if there is playoff baseball in Buffalo. That would be pretty amazing if somehow there was some limited capacity seating where people could go. But I know, you know, I'm just kind of dreaming at this point. I'm sure that's probably not something that's going to happen.
Brian Koziol with us. Two with the Marlins Tuesday, Wednesday, then the Rays for three Friday through Sunday at Salem Field. Off to Baltimore next week. A doubleheader with the Phillies next Thursday. 1 day, two games, then back on the road through next week in Tampa for the Blue Jays. That's the next 2 weeks. I want to bring up two other items here with Brian before we run out of time. The golf tournament is one, but first, the Sabres and the uniforms coming out tomorrow, the unveil. What is your feeling, Brian, about how fans, like how excited fans are for the new uniforms, the return to royal blue? And, you know, while I think we'd all know that that's a popular look and that's what I think maybe most fans want, I'd probably say that, you know, we're at a time here where the team has struggled for years and it's August and who knows if they'll even be able to play next year, like things like that. What do you think of how it adds up?
I guess I would say that I'm happy for the move personally. I love the way it's going to look. There's a teeny bit of me of trepidation of saying, just please don't do something silly with the uniforms. Don't change with a crazy font or some different striping. Like, I'm hoping it's going to be what we all are envisioning it to look like, which is, you know, what we grew up watching with this team or something extremely similar to it. And, you know, whatever today's design is going to be, but I can't imagine that they're going to kind of do something that would tinker with the jersey enough that would rile up fans and actually get a negative response. This should be a home run in the park, right? Like, they just change the color from navy to royal, and it kind of does it itself right there. The team is, of course, just, I mean, you couldn't be any more low. I mean, after we talked the day that Jason Bottrell and then all the assistants were let go and all the scouts were let go and all the Amerks coaches were let go, I mean, it couldn't have felt like one of the lowest moments in franchise. It felt like one of the lowest moments in franchise history. And obviously right now, the inspiration for people to buy a hockey jersey probably is not where they envisioned that they would want it to be when you do an unveiling like this. You want people lining up to go into your store to buy these things or order it online. And I don't know if I would say this is the perfect day to do it, but I guess I would have. Maybe can you wait a little longer until there's some good news to report? But maybe there's not going to be any good news to report for a while, so they're figuring, let's get this done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it is. I think everything about what they're going to do tomorrow will score really highly with the fans who have been clamoring for the return to the appropriate colors, the historic colors. But I think it's all tempered by everything else that's been going on with the organization, you know, dating back even prior to the pandemic. But I just think there's a lot happening that hasn't been good for them. And I think that will sort of be a cloud hanging over everything to some extent. But I think the jerseys are going to be a home run. I like you, Brian, I think it'd be very difficult for me to, I know what I'm saying by saying this. All right. I think it'd be very difficult for them to screw this up.
Correct.
Because they've screwed up some things that really just are, you would have said the same thing about. But I'm pretty confident that they've got this. They've got their hands around this.
Yeah, that's good. And let's hope that even tonight's lottery thing is another thing. It's like, does it remind you of how annoyed you are with the state of the team? Probably for some fans, it's going to tonight, especially if there's a team that either a Sabre fan feels is undeserving of getting it or is annoyed because they get it again if the Oilers fits that description. But if Toronto or Pittsburgh somehow get this tonight, I mean, all it's going to do is just make people more aggravated about the state of the Sabres. Because if the Sabres were good, tonight's thing, to me, has less of an impact. But if an Eastern team gets them or ends up winning the lottery tonight, like, you're reminded, oh, yeah, this team got better today and the Sabres did not. Like, it's just kind of like the wound never gets a chance to heal.
Quickly, Brian, Colin Morikawa, he's good. Like, he I would say, is deserving. You know, he finished first. But just as a guy whose place in the game right now is what it is, I feel like he's not too obscure or a fluke or anything like that.
No, I think for, if you said, you know, give me a handful of guys that haven't won a major yet that you'd say is a legit winner, he would be amongst that group. We kind of talked about it, like, you know, Tony Finau and Colin Morikawa and Xander Schauffele, like that next group of guys that haven't won one yet that are still what we would consider to be legitimate players. He's in that mix. I mean, just the way he finished it was such a cool setting, how everybody played that 16th hole so differently. Even some of the guys that we know for smashing it, like Finau, decided not to. But Morikawa's drive just absolutely shaped perfectly, and it rolled right up. And then for him to make that eagle putt, even on 18, it obviously was kind of meant to be. He thought he missed the shot, and it ended up being a great one just over the 18th flag. The big names, to me, the big story of yesterday besides Morikawa, to me, is Koepka.
Yeah.
Caught a lot of flack for kind of going after everybody for not winning majors and how he's built for it and everybody else is not. Even at his buddy Dustin Johnson, his workout buddy, they have the same swing coach. And he kind of said, yeah, DJ's got one, but he's had trouble closing him out too. And it's like Koepka was really, you know, setting himself up there. There was a lot of fans yesterday, I'm sure, that watched that said, yep, you got what you deserve. You know, I don't think his drives went haywire because of what he said, but there's a lot of people that would use the word karma there or whatever, and he had a bad day. There's no doubt about it. He had the second worst round. There was only one player out of the 70-some players that played worse than him yesterday. So I don't know if it affected him or not, but, boy, the player that he was with, Paul Casey, who actually has had a reputation of actually kind of folding in final rounds, couldn't have been better. I thought he played almost perfect, but Morikawa was just even better than that. And Casey afterwards I thought was really classy in kind of how he said that. But, no, Morikawa is a legit player. I mean, here's one stat, I guess, to compare where he's at. He went to college all 4 years. A lot of these guys like Tiger and Spieth, you know, McIlroy turned straight pro at a young age as a teenager. Morikawa didn't turn pro until last year. He went to Cal for 4 years. So he's entered a little bit late, even though last year he was officially a rookie. He's played 29 PGA Tour events. He's won three times and now has a major. When Tiger won his Masters in 97, that was his 29th event. So similar in terms of the amount of exposure to the PGA Tour before a first major, Tiger just happened to start it a little earlier.
How about golf right now with the big attitudes? Koepka, DeChambeau,
yep. Patrick. McIlroy went back at Koepka, kind of saying that he shouldn't have, yesterday saying that he shouldn't have been saying that, and that, you know, and then if you remember, Koepka, back earlier in the year when asked about being paired with McIlroy about something, he said, well, it's not really a rivalry because ever since I came out of the scene, Rory hasn't won a major. So, like, yeah.
Patrick Reed and his act.
Yep.
We need a steel cage. Golf needs a steel cage.
And although, the whole time, Phil Mickelson's playing the role of entertainer. He's like, you know, he's like the Joker in all this.
Yeah, Mickelson and Tiger are like these old... Whatever, like, you know,
they're
sweethearts.
They're off on the side just chuckling at it.
They're just old sweethearts.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great right now. All right, good. Thanks, Brian. Can't wait for tomorrow. What a moment in Buffalo sports history to have the Jays. I mean, it's something. I think it's really cool that they're able to get this done, and I think the pictures look great. So good job, everybody, that helped make it work.
And the plan, at least according to when I'm allowed to enter the ballpark tomorrow, I should. My plan is to check in with you guys from down there so I can kind of let you know what the scene is. So plan on at some point in that 5 to 6 area that I'll be able to check in from the stadium.
All right, we'll stay.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Brian. All right.
Okay.
Brian Koziol there. It'd be nice to have Hal Chase throw out the first pitch. If they're doing first pitches, I mean, I know Fauci, so they've at least done one here in the baseball season. But Hal Chase, who was the Federal League leader in home runs in 1915, the last year of Major League Baseball in Buffalo, with 17 home runs. He then went to Cincinnati. The league folded. He went to Cincinnati the next year and led the National League in hitting. He won a batting title, but he won't be able to throw out the first pitch. He died in 1947. He will not be able to make it. But there are, you know, some names in Bison's history.
Can't we find his granddaughter or something?
Maybe she's out there.
I mean,
good idea.
Just a thought.
Good idea.
Yeah.
Connie Mack. Remember Connie Mack from the Cup of Coffee draft?
Right.
Connie Mack.
Right. Yeah.
Let's get him.
Has anybody gotten a good look at the cutouts? Like, I drove by and I could see them, but I mean, I couldn't. I was, you know, I was on whatever, Oak Street. I couldn't make them out. Do we know any details on, like, who's there, or is it just
random
fans who paid $60 to get it? I'm wondering what that's going to look like.
I do not, but if the cutouts don't come with a sense of humor, I'm going to be mad.
Yeah.
I mean, there should be. Some teams are having some fun with it. Stuffed animals, the Mets using pictures of Chipper Jones. Like, have a little bit of fun with it. I hope they do. We're going to talk to Matt Waldman after the update. Rookie scouting portfolio, do some football with Matt. Talk some more about the Blue Jays. They're, it's not a return, but their arrival, I guess, for tomorrow's first home game. We'll do some more of that and lots else with the Sabre uniforms and the college football season in peril and more. So stay tuned. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. This is WGR.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.